Welcome to the Astrology Hub podcast. I'm Amanda Poole Walsh, founder of Astrology Hub and your host for our flagship show. We explore the many ways astrology can support you in your relationships, career, health, and personal growth. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, Joji here. I'm Astrology Hub's podcast producer and an astrologer over at Astrologer Connect. I just wanted to make sure that you knew about Astrologer Connect's Reading Bonanza Month. We're gonna have all sorts of special events, but the biggest thing is that any reading booked in April. So even if you're having a reading all the way in December, as long as you book it this month, you are eligible for a 20% off by using the code April20. And if you actually go right now, call for an instant reading, you actually get the first 10 minutes for free. Again, this is happening all throughout the month. And to claim your discount, all you have to do is just go to astrologyhub.com/connect and use the code April20. All right, I'll see you soon.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Astrology Hub podcast. I am so happy that you all are here, especially today, because we have an extraordinarily special, cherished, honored guest here today. This woman literally is responsible for the fact that Astrology Hub even exists. This woman is the incredible astrologer that I had my very first astrology reading with now about 10 years ago. And I knew nothing about astrology, and I will never, ever forget sitting in her little sort of like kitchen nook with a cup of tea with this incredible woman who was looking at a piece of paper with a circle and squiggles and speaking directly to my soul. It was one of those moments that I will never forget. And she has continued to be one of the most influential people in my life. So I am so grateful to introduce you to her if you haven't met her before, and to have an exploration of the energy of Saturn here today. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Natasha Alter. Natasha has been an evolutionary astrologer for many, many years, and she's been practicing astrology for over a decade. I don't know that she would still call herself an evolutionary astrologer, because I know that Natasha doesn't like to be boxed in so much. So I'd love for you, Natasha, to explain a little bit about the type of astrology you do, and then we can dive into Saturn, which I am so excited to explore with you. One more thing before you go, before you speak. I know when I get a message from Natasha that says, "We need to talk. There's something that I need to share with you." This doesn't happen very often, but when it happens, you can believe that my ears perk up and my heart opens. It's like, "Oh, what do you have, Natasha?" So I got one of those messages and she said, "We need to talk about Saturn." Okay, let's talk about Saturn. So Natasha, can you just tell us real briefly about the type of astrology that you like to practice with your clients, and just what kind of astrology you like to explore?
I started, it's about two decades ago, with evolutionary astrology as a foundation. And as time went, I have started developing my own kind of a branch, which has no name. It just has my individuality. I still use evolutionary principles when it's needed. I heavily use nodal axis, the lunar nodal axis, but I also am applying the knowledge that I have to each individual case, depending on what this soul needs in this particular moment. So my astrology practice has no structure in terms of like, you know, this is what I do and this is how I do it. I meet the soul where they are at, and whatever information needs to come through me using astrological knowledge will be delivered. So I don't know even how to call it. It's Natasha Astrology.
So grateful that you delivered the astrological message you had for me that day, that you've continued to do that for me on a very regular basis. And I mean, I think that's the beauty of astrology, and especially when you have been practicing for a long time. I'm sure a lot of astrologers would agree that at some point there's a integration into yourself, and then the astrology becomes yours and transmitted through you. So
yeah, every astrologer uses the filter of their own perception, of course, even though, you know, we might claim that we are basing the knowledge on certain teaching. And intuition plays a huge role here too. And being in the moment, listening to the client, tuning in to the client's need to be your greatest assistant. You know, it's kind of a fluid process.
Mm, beautiful. So Natasha, why did you reach out to me to talk about Saturn? Why did this feel like the thing that needed to be shared?
Well, I told you, I think a couple of, last year even, that I was approaching my second Saturn return. And so when this Saturn came closer and closer, and Saturn does aspect all of my personal planets in the chart, which means that there is a very strong Saturnian presence in my chart and in my being, in my personality. So when Saturn actually hit its natal position and started aspecting everything else, in the chart, I immersed myself into that experience just to fully receive the messages and the essence of this energy, because it's every transit gives you a tremendous opportunity to tune in to the voice and vibration and the essence of that planetary consciousness, right? And being an astrologer, we come already with a certain perception or a certain understanding of that planetary essence. However, at the moment, it's good to remove all the preconceived ideas and just to let the energy pass through, so that maybe new angles and new perspectives and new understandings can be received. And so I went for it. It's like was an exact conjunction, let's say, for a couple of months. And I went through that process in solitude, Saturn, solitude, right? Just to be able to hear as much as I can and absorb the process as much as I can. And certain things opened up that I haven't seen before. In other words, I got the meeting with the Saturn in the most intimate way that I ever experienced before. It was literally like face to face. It was a daily conversation. It was a daily teaching and a daily guidance. It's almost as if Saturn have unfolded this lifetime in front of me, like a movie or a video consisting of many, many, many screenshots, where one screenshot is unfolding into another. It showed that there is not one piece, one segment, whether it's a heavy memory or a difficult choice, or what we call maybe a mistake, or the benign experiences, none of within that movie of a lifetime, nothing could be taken out, because the result of that series of events and series of choices have led us to where we are at today. But oftentimes we are not connecting the dots, you know, when we are caught in this daily experience, you know, where we are fragmented and kind of a little bit more disconnected from what we've done then and where we've been in this moment, what kind of turn did we take at this crossroads? You know, when Saturn comes, it just like shows you the whole picture. It's like you see yourself as a building, and all these bricks are the ones that are supporting you, who you are today. There is nothing that is unnecessary or avoidable, even.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's almost like you got to do a life review. You know, I've heard sometimes people say, you know, when they have a near-death experience, they have this like life review experience where they see everything. And this idea of Saturn as quote unquote the keeper of time. It's like you've got to see the file, like the Natasha file.
Natasha file, exactly. Exactly.
Amazing. Okay.
Yeah. You could see the continuity.
Yes.
You could see the ramifications of choices.
Wow.
That you've made during these certain moments of your life that have radically changed the direction and resulted in new circumstances and all along, you know, the continuity is one of these Saturnian attributes, right? So it kind of what it did bind it all together for me and show it on the screen.
Amazing. And this was a process of how many months? About 2 months?
Well, the depth of it or the exactness of it, let's say, lasted for a couple of months because it did station around my natal Saturn. However, the process itself lasted about 6-8 months, you know, and I started feeling the ingress of Saturn into my chart with all the aspects already in the beginning of last year. So it's a gradual process. And, you know, Saturn is related to slowness, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like right away it will reveal all the bits and pieces of its structural kind of mechanisms. And the actual core of that experience, that's what happened, you know? Everything was revealed, the lifetime, and even the lifetimes, you know? Even the segments that led to this incarnation and the reasons behind the experience that needed to be experienced, it all kind of tied together. And when it tied together, you know, the beauty and the wisdom of this principle of cause and effect has actually been received with grace.
Mm.
Because who and what you are today is a sum effect, right? It's a summary of all of your turns and all your trials and tribulations, all your rises and falls, and all the experience through the incarnation that you have taken with you into the present moment or the perception of present moment, right? So actually it brought a lot of gratitude and a lot of, I would say, a sense of acceptance on a whole different level. You know, acceptance that is spiced with the infinite wisdom of this creation.
Natasha, I know you have a sense of peace about your life, like where you're at in your life and what you've done in your life and the decisions you've made. Do you feel or suppose that someone who might be at a point in their life where they're not as peaceful, you know, where Absolutely. They are, do you think they would still receive this sort of life review experience with as much gratitude? Or do you think that it would show them where they sort of, quote unquote, might have gone off path?
Well, if there is no peace, it means there is no fulfillment. And if there is no fulfillment, it means that the life has not aligned itself to your essence or to your true nature.
Mm.
Because Saturn also stands for alignment,
mm.
right? And the lack of peace is a natural experience, which I've had plenty of, and sometimes also have. And we all are familiar with this. However, to answer your question, to help people who do not have that sense of peace is the opportunity to revise where they are deviating from a certain path, from the certain calling that is hidden deep inside of them. Mm. Where they're being distracted, because Saturn doesn't want to be distracted. Once you deviate, you know, to whatever, you know, and it's fine. It's all human experience to taste different ways of being human, being in the body. However, sooner or later, it wants you to come back to your path.
Mm.
Right? And when it does presses, that's an opportunity for those kind of questions to ask yourself.
Mm.
But I would like also to offer a certain journey of understanding this energy. Mm-hmm. And that journey happened during my intimate conversation with Saturn. And so I would invite everybody to do this journey with me, because it might also help to feel within your own body, within your own senses, that the energy that it creates in our solar system. So usually we go, when we look at the chart and when we study astrology, we start from the first house and then we move through the houses, we reach the 10th house of Saturn, and then we end with Pisces. And so we exit this realm, right? But before we know it, we are in the birth canal again, right? After Pisces comes Aries again, and the circle starts repeating itself. The wheel keeps moving, right? But I would invite you to enter the solar system from a different direction. I would invite everybody to go outside of solar system and approach it from outside as infinite eternal beings, which are part of the creator, right? So imagine ourselves as we're these infinite souls. We're one with the universe. We're one with everything. There is no differentiation. There is no distinction. We are in wherever realm we are, in the blissful union or other realms, multidimensional realities. And so we start moving towards the solar system, right? So imagine, we all know how solar system looks. So we go, we are floating in this cosmic sea. And first we come to a Pluto orbit, right? At least what is known today. So there is a road sign, warning, rebirth ahead. So Pluto is like kind of prepping us that, hey, incarnation, this way, please. But we're still within an infinite realm, non-separated from the divine essence. And so we keep floating and we go into the orb of Neptune. Into the orbit of Neptune. And so we are just in the bliss of the union, in this ocean where the drop is not separate from the waters of the cosmos. We are the ocean, right? And the drop is not aware that it's a drop, okay? Then we keep floating and we come to Uranus. And we get what? We get electrified. All of a sudden, we get a jolt of energy, right? We get this charge of frequency. We get a voltage. We become electric beings. But we still are formless, right? We receive this electricity this vibrational flow, which contains information, right? Electricity is information. Frequency is information. So we connect to the absolute mind. We're one with the universal mind. And then we keep floating. We may maybe already like a ball of light, you know, at this point, you know, and we keep floating in the cosmic sea. And so we arrive at the gate, like stone gate. And that's the gate of Saturn. And at the gate, we're being told you need to take a form. You need to separate in order to incarnate. In order to be here, you are going to transform from formless into a form. Okay, one of the things what Saturn does, it turns the formlessness into form, into concrete object. It turns timelessness into the realm of time, right? So you come in through this gate and you feel this tremendous densification of energy. So imagine like you are this free, no boundaries, no edges, no beginning, no end. You enter the realm and all of a sudden everything starts condensing, densifying, and solidifying into matter, right? That's why Saturn is associated with crystallization, right? That's why Saturn rules is a rock, right? Is a stone. It's this fluid energy which becomes solidified. It's that mountain. So there is tremendous contraction of energy, right? And what do we know about the personality of Saturn or Saturnian beings? You know, like there is a certain contraction that we can say. There is like this reservedness. You see how the energy of its impact affects the personality, right? The contracted way of being, we can say the crystallized personality, the solidity of Saturnian energy. Or Capricornian essence. Saturn is associated with joints and the bones, right? And then we age and the joints start aching. This is all associated with Saturn, the knees, you know, the structure of our body, the skeleton, you know, that's why it's all associated with that energy, because of the process of crystallization of energy into matter. Now, let me just mention, it's a perception of matter because we are still a pure energy beings here and now in this moment, me and you and everybody else. We are still an empty space or charged electrical devices. However, what happens when we get within the realm of Saturn, our perception is tuned in such way that we start to see the solidity, the density, and the matter itself as it is. Right? We all know that we only see a certain spectrum of colors. We only hear a very narrow bandwidth of frequencies. And there are so many sounds that we don't see because we are simply not formed this way. So we are formed to perceive the matter as matter while remaining infinite beings. What else happens when we enter the Saturn realm? Of course, with the process of formlessness taking form, the process of separation starts happening, right? We come from a unity where the drop doesn't know that it's a drop, it's an ocean. And all of a sudden, you take form, you incarnate, you carne, flesh, you get the body, and all of a sudden, you realize that you are separate. And there is a certain deep, deep sadness that associated often with Saturn. Oftentimes it's unconscious. Oftentimes it's the person doesn't know why, the Saturnian person doesn't know why he or she feels that way. There is a sense of loneliness or aloneness. And you're saying, I see you're like, yes, because you're a big Capricorn queen. Yep. So that same sense of aloneness to me has its root in that process of separation in order for matter to take place, form. And through the process of separation from unity, something is being lost, and the sense of aloneness in this universe, which is also an illusion, becomes a part of Saturnian personality. Right?
You're in such a transmission that I don't want to break it's almost like a trance. It's like the ultimate storytelling time where we're getting to hear the story of our actual ancestry, you know, our actual roots, our actual, like where we come from. So it's fascinating, Natasha. And I can feel and sense everything you're talking about as you're taking us through this journey. One thing that I'm marveling about is the 7 year. So we incarnate, right? And it's almost like we're still somewhat in that form, in that formlessness as we're a child, right? A baby.
Yes.
There's this still union with
yes.
eternity. And then at 7 years.
Yes.
That's the first Saturn opposition, right?
Saturn square.
Sorry. We go through this Saturn, we go through this experience of coming into form to incarnate. And then throughout our lifetime, it's like we have an entire different sort of Saturn journey, but it's mirroring the same thing. So that Saturn square, and I remember when my daughters hit that 7 year mark, it is a little bit like this loss of innocence or loss of the dream and loss of the fantasy and that, you know, just pure joy of being and being one, you know, all of a sudden they're yes. aware of themselves versus other. They're yes. aware of yes. strangers. They're aware yes. of, but they don't just walk up to anyone and say, hi, how, you know, there's this yes. self-consciousness yes. that comes in.
Yes.
And I can see how much of a Saturnian awareness that we all have, you know, whether or not we're Saturnian, you know, very
yes.
different beings,
yes.
but that it's this part of experiencing life in this dimension. I have so many questions, Natasha, but I don't want to like derail us too much. Are we stopping at Saturn or are we going to keep going on our journey?
Look, this is the infinite process. So we can stop. We can stop wherever you want to because we are limited with time.
Okay.
The Lord of time, Saturn.
Yes.
We can just take this segment as it is and then, you know, keep journeying some other time, you know, but I would still like to give a few more experiences through the process of separation that also helps explain the Saturn, its nature, and Saturnian transits, what they do to us and the experience that we have with this beautiful mystical planet.
Yes, please keep going.
But actually, what you mentioned is very is I think about it oftentimes, and especially those who have the mothers, of course, and the parents, and those who have experience with newborn babies, especially the first, like the first month, or even like the first weeks, it's like you see they are still dissolved. You see they're there everywhere. You see the bliss. You even can see the aura of that place with no separation, of the certain blissful kind of a beingness that is emanating from them. And then what happens, the process of forgetting steps in. And it's the same that happens when we cross the Saturn gates, because that also cuts off the memories. It cuts off the memories of previous incarnations. It cuts off the memories of other realms that we simultaneously might be residing in. It does it with a purpose.
Mm.
Okay. Now, back to what I wanted to add about that process of entering the Saturnian realm. What else happens? We mentioned time, right? All of a sudden you come from timelessness and you enter the concept of time. What happens? And once you enter the realm of time, comes space. Once you enter the realm of time, what else happens? There is finite reality. So from infinite into finite, what are the consequences of being in the finite realm? In our life, in the human life, what are the consequences?
Death.
Yes, exactly.
Aging, decay.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm. So mortality steps in. We're entering the realm of mortality. So the fear that is often associated with Saturn has in its, you know, deep roots, to me personally, it anchors in that death anxiety, the ultimate fear within the finite realm that we live in or incarnate into.
Mm.
And with that, of course, comes opportunity of mastery of that fear. Right?
Mm.
So everything Saturn brings gives you opportunity to master that or this or that phenomena or experience. Okay, what else happens when we enter the time and space? All of a sudden, there is direction. The reality becomes linear. There is A to B. Is there A to B in infinity? It doesn't exist. Is there a direction in infinity? It doesn't exist. All of a sudden, here, we start having directions. There is north. There is south. There is east. There is west. And all of a sudden we have a cross of directions. And what is the cross? Is a very, very well used symbol, right? And what does that symbol contain in itself is the realm of matter, right? What else happens? We said mortality, time, separation, aloneness, you know, all of that, structures, bones, contractions. What else happens? Another symbol for Saturn is like a deep mystical ancient esoteric symbol is a cube. So to understand it literally, we can say we come from the infinite space. We pass the gate of Saturn, and all of a sudden, we are in the square room. We're inside the cube. Like I'm seeing now the cube in the, on the top of this Zoom thing, you know, I'm sitting there in the cube. That's pretty much the similar experience. We enter into a limitation of time and space. So another word for Saturn is what? Limitation. And with that limitation comes what? Boundaries. These are all Saturnian words. Because when we are inside the cube, there are boundaries. Of course. I mean, as soon as we get into the body, there are boundaries, right? Because there is like, here is my, the skin is a boundary of the body. So cube is a very ancient symbol. It's oftentimes misunderstood. It's associated with Saturn because Saturn is a structure. And cube is kind of like, you know, when we build a house, it's mathematically and geometrically the easiest structure to and quickest structure to erect is actually either a cube or rectangular form. So anyway, but that's the Saturn builder. But it's also associated, you can see the reference to cube, for instance, in Muslim tradition, where they do the pilgrimage to the big black cube in Mecca. And they have to go around that black cube seven times. Because Saturn is what? The seventh planet.
Wow.
Right? And then we have what? We have Jewish tradition. We have what? The day of Saturn is being celebrated, right? Saturday, the day of rest, the day of spiritual communion. Now, what happens if we take the cube and open it up? I don't have a paper cube here, but if we, I'll make it simple. If we open the cube up, it folds out into a cross, but it's not an equal cross, it's cross with this part longer, right? So we have cross in Christianity too, which symbolizes what again? The realm of matter. The realm of mortality. And I read it a long time ago, but it didn't really resonate with me. The whole symbology to me, and I don't want, it's a deep, deep rabbit hole. I don't want to go too far. But the symbology with the spiritual being, like the Son of God in Christian tradition, is being crucified. The metaphor of it is the spirit being crucified on the cross of matter. Yes, please.
On the flip side, he is quote unquote crucified on the cross of matter in order to experience eternal life, which means like the truth. After the quote unquote crucifixion on the cross of matter,
yeah,
is that he goes back to being an eternal being, which
well,
is
we all do.
Right.
We all do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm sorry. Over here, I'm having this experience over here. I don't know if all of you are having this, but there's these like epiphanies of the symbology and the depth of this. That is kind of blowing my mind. I'm sorry. I'm like over here having an experience.
You want to have an experience and have a cup of tea and like and dwell on it a little bit, or should we keep going?
I wish I could be with you right now with a cup of tea.
We will.
Yes.
Soon, one day.
Yes.
We will chat more.
We're too many miles apart. Okay.
Because, you know, everything that we're mentioning are very profound kind of subjects that one can develop on and go pretty deep into, right?
Oh, yes.
But they're all kind of interconnected. We're just jumping on the surfaces right here, just to give an experience of Saturnian realm. Now, regarding the pure spirit crucified on the cross of matter, how do we can connect it to an actual experience of reality or a lifetime where the highly sensitive beings, strong empaths, or the people with very thin membranes, really, really, really empathic beings, are having very hard time in being in the body and in this reality. And we all know that. We know that not everybody can endure the pressure of this density. You know, once upon a time, I struggled a lot myself and tried to, you know, as the Neptune called me, like, come on, let's get out. But what I want to say is that it is a challenging realm for sensitive souls. And that's why so many people in spiritual communities are struggling just to be able to function in the demanding of this density. So we can have a compassion and we can understand that not everybody is equipped with solidity to be able to fully meet the challenges of the dimension that Saturn provides. You know, it's a kind of broadcaster of energy, like every planet is. It's like a radio station. And it broadcasts the energy, or like the bandwidth it broadcasts. It's not a light. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not a light one, right? But it is obviously training us for something. It is obviously pressurizing us as an initiation for something. And there is deep, deep mystical importance in that, which I am not going to go into right now. Back to the cube. So what happens inside the cube? Whatever you launch a ball inside the cube, inside the room. What happens to the ball? You throw it against the wall. What happens?
It comes back to you.
Oh, it comes back to you. Oh my God.
Karma.
Karma.
Whoa. That's fascinating. Oi. Okay.
So it turns out that we enter the realm where every our action that we launch we will have to have responsibility for, because it will come back to us. Here we have the reason for the name of Saturn as the Lord of Karma. It's a boomerang. And it's a law of this particular system that we live in now. I'm not saying that it is necessarily has always been that way or other systems function the same way. I'm saying that here and now we are in this kind of a technology of karma. Mm. Okay. So every action, every choice, every relationship, every interaction will have what? Its consequences. And those consequences are unavoidably, sooner or later, it will unavoidably bounce back. Not necessarily in the same lifetime. And not necessarily within an instant. Saturn takes time.
Do we necessarily come back though? I mean, do we stay in this box? Like, when do we exit the box?
You are eager to exit the box.
but well, of course, I have the huge question, which I know you're probably not going to answer here today, but why do we do it in the first place? What is this whole thing? What's the point?
You know when we exit the box?
When we realize there's a box?
Well, that's a good one. First of all, yes. When we realize there is a box, what else? When we learn to love that box. When we no longer have resistance to that box. When we accept the consequences of our choices.
Oh, wow.
You see?
Yes.
When we bounce off and on from one wall to another, from up and down, we explored all the corner, we got bruised, we went high, and then we fell again. We became a predator, and then we became a prey, and then we became a victim, and then we became like a saint and the sinner. When we bounce off all of the human experience that can be tasted within the box, something happens. First of all, it's almost like you no longer need that exploration, because you've been in every single corner of that room already. Right? And then what you said, you understand the principles of karma. You understand this realm and you learn to accept it and master it. What does it mean, master it? What are the high expressions of Saturn? What are the highest octaves? What are the highest vibration of Saturnian energy? What happens when you know that whatever you do has impact on everybody, on other things, on other beings, on the world, on nature? What happens? What kind of quality do you develop?
Responsibility.
Thank you. Exactly. So with time, Saturn, with bruises and experiences, comes the beauty and the high vibration of that energy. And it's the sense of responsibility. The inner understanding of accountability for your actions.
It's not just the physical actions that we've taken, but also responsibility for our energy,
exactly.
Right? Because we are ultimately energetic beings.
Exactly.
So taking responsibility for all of it, both the parts we see and the parts that are unseen.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, in Kabbalistic tradition and in Hindu tradition too, there are these actions are divided into thought, word, and physical actual action. So each of them has consequences. Because we live in the material realm, the strongest impact have actually actions, like, you know, I go and hit this person, or I help this person, or you know, whatever, it's the physical that comes first because it has the material impact. However, the thought and the words are having equal significance. You know, the word karma in Sanskrit, karma, it means action. So it's not something that you are doomed to be chained to without possibility to repair or realign. Every time we make a choice, we are directing energy outward. Every moment we have a chance to redirect our karma. Because karma is a process, it's not the given. There are certain things, that, there are certain traces that we might have left in the past lifetimes, which we need to return to, readdress, repair, certain relationships that left in the distorted, disharmonious, let's say, frequencies that we need to reuptake, certain experience of polarity, right? Let's say we've lived the life of wealth and greed, let's say. We had attachment to that. We need to incarnate and experience poverty. It's just that polarity bouncing off, you know, so that we cover the full spectrum of human experience, right? Because again, Saturn comes through experience, right? And experience takes time. You actually have to live it. You can't learn it from the book. You have to walk through it, live it in your flesh. So let's come back to the beauty of it. What else can we say of the beauty? After we have done all these rotations and have gone through all the tests and have understood the responsibility for all that we say, think, and do, what happens? We become what? We become reliable, another word for Saturn, right? We become somebody others can lean upon, right? We become solid in terms of our values, our commitment, another word for Saturn, right? We can't be like bowed by the distractions of desires or attractions or whatever, you know. All of a sudden there is commitment, whether it's to the path or to relationship or to a mission that you have in this lifetime to fulfill or to the child you're raising. So these are all the higher octaves of Capricorn. So that's why a mastery of life is associated with Saturn. That's why Saturn is such a great teacher. Right? So coming back to the mastery of Saturn once again, why I do want to add more about that, because Saturn is oftentimes feared and oftentimes misunderstood. You know, the natural human reaction is the fear. Oh, we hide because there is some kind of like heaviness, punishment, whatever, difficulties, obstacles, all of that. So I want to just dispel that so we have the respect and understanding to the mechanisms and the necessity, another Saturnian word, necessity of us in our process of alignment to our higher selves, you know, the necessity of certain experience, however difficult and challenging they might be, you know, because Saturn ultimately takes away. You know, it takes away. It just sometimes in a brutal way, you know, but it does remove what is not needed and what is unnecessary. You know, it falls off like a chunks of stone. So back to mastery. Remember when we said that when we pass the Neptunian realm, we enter as we in the state of an absolute union with the ocean of the universe, right? We are not a separate drop. We are the ocean. Okay, and so with the gates of Saturn, the process of separation occurs. So basically, another metaphor for Saturn, if we imagine that the solar system is like a cell in our body, and then the sun is atom, having all this atomic energy of radiation. So our solar system is the cell. So Saturn is like a membrane. It's like a membrane that keeps the wholeness and integrity of that structure of atoms, electrons, and protons, whatever, intact. So, you know, we can figure, we can literally visualize that membranes, you know, that holds the matter that we're in together, or perception of matter. Now, back to ocean and the drop. As we climb, another Saturnian action, climb through this lifetime and lifetimes of experiences, of human experiences, and gain the values and the wisdom and maturity in our souls and in our perceptions and our relations and in our sense of self-responsibility, we come to another side of Saturn. You know, until now we talked about Saturn with its rings, which looks inward into the solar system, right? Towards the sun, everything that happens from Saturn towards the sun, all of this densification. But Saturn also looks out there into infinity, right? So it's this membrane that knows what's on inside and what's on outside. So the ultimate mastery of Saturn, and this is my understanding, is when this drop that we are, the separate drop, realizes and remembers that the ocean is actually within it, that we, each separate individual, as a drop of the infinite ocean, contain all of that ocean within us. That's when we realize that how we impact the rest. Because there is no really difference between the ocean and the drop, right? There is no difference between small and big. It's just the illusion of difference. So, yeah.
So, yeah, that's just an hour of the nature of reality itself and this entire process of incarnation and what we're here to do in this lifetime. And, you know, just, yeah.
Just like a little journey into the solar system.
Amazing.
Through the Saturn return.
I mean, I'm marveling at so many things. I mean, first of all, I've never felt more in love with Saturn in my entire life.
Oh, I'm glad that I brought love into that.
Lots of love. I mean, my love affair with Saturn like has been pretty much lifelong, but my awareness of it really accelerated in 2020. And now you've just allowed me to deepen into an even more intimate, loving romance with Saturn. Oh. And what one of the things that I'm marveling about is this, what you said in the very beginning about these transits that we go through. And when we go through a transit, we have this unique opportunity to receive directly the transmission of the frequency of those planets that are involved. And so through your second Saturn return, because you made space in your life, because you got quiet and listened and asked and were open and receptive, and you made yourself available to the information. It's not even information. I mean, to the experience. Obviously, you've had an experience with Saturn that has opened you up to such a deep level of truth. And I mean, ultimately beauty that is available to all of us.
Yes.
But I just want to thank you for making yourself available in that way. And then for being willing to come here and share it with all of us. And just, oh, it's blowing me away. And there are so many questions. And like you said, so many different rabbit holes that we could go down just from this starting point. Because truly what you're describing here is the nature of reality itself. I'm also marveling. So, you know, that Madeline and Sophia, my daughters, we when we first learned about Waldorf education years and years ago, there was some kernel of truth in there that resonated in what Rudolf Steiner was transmitting. Mm-hmm. And in kindergarten, when the children have their birthdays, they do this little play. And in the little play, they have these little caricatures that are in that formless place, come to the gates, go through the rain, go down the rainbow bridge, and land here on Earth. And the rainbow bridge being this process of incarnation that you just described, but with Saturn at the gates. I love the imagery and the, God, I can feel it. And I'm sure everybody can too, that the truth of Saturn at the gates. And you know, Saturn gets cast as the Grim Reaper often, you know, the harbinger of death, you know. And when I think about it, it is true in a way, because our mortality is a result of this Saturnian process. And yet it's all an illusion. So it's like, this whole thing, it's fascinating. And the description of the box and the karma and the ball hitting the wall and coming back to us, it's like, oh, wow. Are you all like having these experiences with me? These like aha moments, mind blown, like, wow. Do you see why Natasha's entry into my life was one of those, just life will never be the same after this moment? You have opened up the world of astrology to me. You continue to forge forward and receive wisdom at deeper and deeper levels. And I'm so grateful for our continued communion, you and me, Natasha, and then the ability to share that with just a couple thousand of my favorite friends and souls around the globe. Thank you, Natasha. Anything else you want to say before we wrap? Can we please do this again? Can we have intimate conversations with Saturn part two?
Absolutely. You can actually talk about karma and the technology of it, you know, go a little bit deeper into how and why it's working. Different ways of working with it.
Yes. Of course, I have questions about the lunar nodes and their function in this
world. Yes, that's that. We can do that too.
And even more of the symbology that you see all the time, like the serpent and the, you know, there's like all these ancient symbols that there's a reason why they show up again and again and again over time. And it seems like these ancient traditions were trying to transmit to us the nature of reality, what is actually happening here. Of course, astrology included, but you brought in the Jewish tradition, you brought in the Muslim tradition, you brought in the ancient Christian tradition, and, you know, all these quote unquote wisdom traditions that have obviously a lot of them have gotten kind of tarnished over time in terms of the, you know, they've been co-opted so to speak.
Living co-opted. You know, in Hindu tradition, you are encouraged to worship the Shani Dev, the gods of Saturn, on Saturday as well, just right. like in Jewish tradition. And you're encouraged to do good deeds on that day. Like feed the homeless or yes. give something away and never never take back.
Wow.
Because Saturn, of course, rewards, right? Wow. Instead of this grim reaper that the Western kind of perception, fear-based perception has applied to Saturn, it is actually perceived differently in other traditions. And Saturn is like any other planetary consciousness, will respond exactly the way you view it. You know, if you view it as a grim reaper and a scary punisher, it will give you that because that's what you are seeking.
For those of you interested in connecting one-on-one with with Natasha and receiving, you know, her insights on your chart, your personal life experience, wherever you're at, I highly recommend you check her out on our new reading platform, Astrologer Connect. She is available there for personal consultations, for readings. She is, as you have experienced here, literally brilliant. And there's a resonance that I feel, Natasha, certain people are kind of keyed to that you transmit so beautifully. And I'm just excited for you to meet more and more of our community because there's some just beautiful people out there. And so any of you who feel called to connect with Natasha, go to astrologyhub.com/astrologerconnect. Look for Natasha's little beautiful face in her little box on our website. And book a reading with her. You can do that now. So thank you, Natasha. Can we please play again? You are absolutely just such a gift. And I'm so grateful for you and your presence here in my life and at Astrology Hub. Thank you. And thank you for everything that you shared here today. It's just been priceless. I know for me, it initiated a spark and it will continue to unfold, you know, the realizations and how far reaching that these realizations are. So thank you for that.
Well, that makes me feel extremely fulfilled. It's just the biggest fulfillment to have a reception of your transmission. And you are my favorite receiver.
Well, obviously I'm tuned to whatever radio station you're hanging out at. And thank you. It's always so much fun. Thanks to all of you for hanging out with us, for like being a part of this conversation as well. Would love to hear from you in the comments. Are you having aha moments? Are you having those kind of like, whoa, you know, lights going on? And anything else you want to add to the conversation, you're welcome to do that in the chat. And I can't wait for part two, Natasha. Thank you for making astrology a part of your life. We will catch you on the next episode. Your weekly horoscope is brought to you by Astrology Hub. If you'd like more extended personalized guidance from Christopher by sun sign and rising, make sure you subscribe to receive the free weekly horoscope delivered via email to your inbox each Sunday. Just go to astrologyhub.com/horoscope and start receiving even more free personalized guidance today. That's astrologyhub.com/horoscope. And if you love what we do and would like to support our work, please subscribe to the podcast, give us some stars, and if you feel inclined, leave us a review. It does so much to help us get quality astrology out to the world, and we're grateful for all the time that you take to do this. Thank you for listening in today, and as always, thank you for making astrology a part of your life.